David Spada is a successful attorney whose dream was to become a sports talk show host. Elliot Harris is a Chicago Sun-Times sports columnist who wanted to expand his media presence. In the next hour, they combine their talents and love of sports and women by interviewing former professional athletes and lovely ladies on sports and torts. But keeping the boys out of trouble isn't always easy, because when David and Elliot are together, they have more fun than should be legal.
Another day, another show, but let's get right to our first guest, the seventh winningest coach in NBA history. He's in the Basketball Hall of Fame. He won two championships, one as a GM of the 76ers back in 1966 and 67, and also as coach of the Portland Trailblazers in 1976 and 77. Jack Ramsey, how you doing, Jack?
I'm doing great.
I got a question for you. I saw that you said that you selected Manu Ginobili as the MVP and not Derrick Rose. What's going on there?
Well, I did that. My selection was forced on me before the season ended. And my logic for that is, who is the most valuable player on the team with the best record in the league? And at that time, it was Ginobili. Ginobili is the heart and soul of the Spurs team. It's a very good team. At the time I had to cast that ballot, San Antonio had the best record in the league. But as we found out, when the season ended, full 82 games, Chicago was the best team in the league. They had the best defense in the league. And they also had the most valuable player in the league, as the final record showed. So on my final ballot, I voted for Derrick Rose, but I still voted as the defensive player of the year, Keith Bogans, who, in my opinion, is the best defender on that team, which has the best defensive record in the league.
And a lot of Bulls fans are wondering, why is Keith Bogans on the court? He'll take a couple of threes, and that's about it. And I don't think think they really appreciate what he
watching,
does.
They're not watching the game. They don't watch when Keith Bogans takes great players like Ray Allen right out of the game and doesn't allow them any offensive or few offensive opportunities. They could not have been watching that game in Chicago near the end of the season when Boston came in and the Bulls shredded them in good measure because of Bogan's defense.
Are the Celtics too old to win it all, or do they still have one last title in them?
It remains to be seen. The benefit in the playoffs is that you don't play back-to-back games, hardly ever. And if the Celtics can go through the playoffs with a day's rest, at least one day's rest between games, it makes them a much more effective team. Now, I still think they're going to miss Kendrick Perkins. Shaquille O'Neal's value is very limited, if at all. So I think they're in trouble, but I don't count them out because they're such a resilient team, such a veteran-loaded team, good plays down the stretch, good overall team defense. I wouldn't count them out, but I don't think they're going to do it.
Okay, and the Bulls have a rookie coach who's first time as the head coach. How daunting a task is that for them?
Well, he's not a rookie coach. He's been an assistant coach for, I don't know how many years, but close to 20. And he was my choice for coach of the year. He did a magnificent job with the Bulls this year. He's gained valuable experience during the course of the season. He's ready for the playoffs, and he can be a championship coach if the Bulls can carry the load through the East and then get to the finals.
How about these Pacers? They fire your son-in-law, Jim O'Brien. They bring in the assistant coach, and they're giving the Bulls fits.
Yeah, well, they're a feisty team. I don't think they can beat the Bulls, but the Bulls are going to have to prove it. Indiana already won a game there during the regular season. It was an overtime game. But they won it down the stretch when they needed the win, and they got it. They have contested the Bulls pretty well in the first two games. In game one, they had a 10-point lead with 3 minutes to go. This has become a resilient team. And Frank Vogel has done a very nice job after Jim O'Brien's exit. He's gotten good performances. Tyler Hansbrough, who was an in-and-out player in the early going, got his game together. He's a very physical guy. He can make the jump shot from 15 to 17 feet. He bangs on every occasion.
They were on Larry
Darren
Bird.
Collison is a pretty good point guard. You know, he can penetrate. Now, I think they need Collison, and you know, he had to leave game two. I don't really know what his status is. I think he's going to play, but is he physically able? We'll have to find out. And, of course, Danny Granger is a scoring machine. So they're not to be treated lightly, but I can't imagine them beating the Bulls in a playoff series.
Now, out in Los Angeles, we still have Phil Jackson and Kobe Bryant. Can we ever discount the Lakers as long as those two are around?
Yeah, but they've got to play better. We did their game against New Orleans. It was an inspiring game from the Hornets' point of view. Chris Paul just put on a performance of all time. He was magnificent. He willed his team to win. They're well coached. Williams does a very good coaching job. There's another first-year guy who has stepped in and does the job in a very unpretentious way. But, you know, they've got good players. They're not deep enough, I don't think, to beat the Lakers, but the Lakers have to come out and prove it.
You were the GM of the 76ers in 1966-67 when Wilt won his first championship. And we've interviewed numerous former Basketball Hall of Famers, and all of them say that Wilt knew that he could not win a championship until he became a team player. How did you get him to be a team player?
Wilt was very stats conscious, and he had already led the league in scoring. He averaged 50 points a game, had a 100-point scoring game. So he had all the scoring records. He had rebounding records to go with it. They didn't keep block shots in those days, and he would have never beaten out Russell anyway. But assists were things that were countable. And Wilt led the league in assists one year because he wanted the stats for it. He wanted the title as the best assist maker in the league, and he got it. And Wilt had taken a lot of strong criticism from the media around the league for being a high scorer but never winning a championship, and he wanted to quiet those critics. And in the season that they won, in 66-67, Wilt was a very, very good player. He outplayed Russell that season for the first time and only time in his career. But Philadelphia beat Boston 4 out of 5. Wilt was the dominant player. And then they beat the San Francisco, then Warriors, in the finals 4-2.
The best NBA player you've ever seen?
Michael Jordan.
That wasn't a tough one, huh?
No, that's not a tough one. Although, you know, I saw them all. I saw... of course, Oscar Robertson and George Mikan, Baylor West, all the superstars. And Michael just had that little extra, that little competitiveness at both ends of the floor that would not be denied.
Jack Twyman says that Maurice Stokes, if he would have kept playing, would have been the best player of all time.
That's very possible. Maurice Stokes was a great player. From St. Francis of Loreto in Pennsylvania, very small school. But Maurice Stokes was a great player and very possibly would have been the best player of all time had he continued, but was stricken with an incapacitating disease and was not able to play beyond, I think, maybe his third year as a pro.
Now, speaking of great players, the Miami Heat has one who came from Cleveland. Does LeBron James need to win a few championships to validate his greatness?
I think so. He needs to win at least one. But they have another great, really great player, Dwayne Wade, on that team. And there are those who are hard-pressed in a comparison between the two of saying which player is better. But James has had a great season this year. He made the move so that he would have a chance to win a championship. And whether they can do that or not remains to be seen. They have to get past a feisty Philadelphia team, which I think they'll do. They're 2-0 in that series, and they go to Philly for the first of two there.
Jack,
I think they're equal to the task.
Jack, I know you got to go to appointment in closing. Who's your pick to win it all?
Right now, I'm not sure. I think Chicago has a chance. I think Miami has a chance. Boston has a chance. I don't think Orlando nor Atlanta do. In the West, I think the Lakers. If you had to pick a favorite, I'd probably pick the Lakers to win it all, but I'm not. I don't feel any certainty with that at all. Oklahoma City is an up-and-coming team, especially now that they have Kendrick Perkins. You can't count out Dallas, a nondescript team, plays zone, very well coached there by Rick Carlisle. Dirk Nowitzki has proven he's a tough competitor, a great clutch player, a great scorer. And Jason Kidd keeps rolling along despite his years. Very hard to pick a winner at this stage. If I were forced to do it with the guillotine over my head, I'd probably pick the Lakers.
Thank you very much, Jack. I hope you're feeling well, and we're very appreciative of your insight.
Not at all. Thanks.
Thank you. That is Basketball Hall of Famer Jack Ramsey.
Nobody's seen more basketball than he, and nobody does a better job of analyzing it than he.
I'm glad he straightened out that Derrick Rose situation here.
You were worried for a while?
I was worried. I'm like, how do you pick Ginobili and not Rose? But he straightened us out.
A brilliant basketball mind.
We're going to take a short break, and when we come back, we'll have on a legendary Chicago broadcaster, Jonah Esposito. You're listening to Sports and Torts here on TalkZone.com.